Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board of Finance Committee meeting of Monday, October 19th, 2015. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiefen. I'm the committee chair. I'd like to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Lydia Brazon. Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Bill Clozier.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiefen.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Nancy Sorden. Barbara Whipperman. All right, we have six. That's a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We're on to agenda approval. I sent out a proposed agenda this morning. I'll run over it for a chance to for anybody who hasn't had a chance to get to their emails. After minutes approval, we have budget review and approval. Starting with a motion, I proposed requesting specific changes to the KPFT budget that we considered at our last meeting. Time certain consideration of the WBAI budget at 6 p.m. Pacific, which is 9 Eastern. And then time certain consideration of the Pacifica Radio Archives budget at 6:45 Pacific, which is 9:45 Eastern. And Brian DeShazer, the director of the Archives, has confirmed he'll be joining us at that hour. Ending with a check-in on the status of outstanding budgets and then item regarding Pacifica's current cash flow problems. And a time certain adjournment of 7:30 Pacific. I'm moving the agenda. Does anyone wish to propose any changes?
Bill, with a question.
Yes, sir.
Will Efren be able to join us for the cash flow and liquidity discussion at least?
I don't know what his plans are.
Or should we call him? Could we call him? Because he has to have a report. We didn't get to that last week.
Yeah, I don't have a phone number for him and did not communicate with him about his participation in this meeting. He does get everything that was sent out to the list, though. So
we don't know. Well, I can email him. I don't know if he's looking at his email this evening to see if he can join us.
Okay. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the agenda? Does anyone have any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved. We're on to minutes approval. I believe I saw minutes for September 15th go out earlier today. Is that correct, Mr. Secretary? Does anyone wish to propose approval of the minutes of September 15th?
I think there was a correction from Nancy Sorden.
Yes, but somebody needs to move to approve them before we can correct them.
Okay, I'll move to approve them.
Thank you, Michael. And does someone wish to propose any amendment?
I'll move Nancy's correction that the HD broadcast by Rice be attributed to KPFT and not WBFW.
Paul, have you got that, or do we need to wordsmith?
I'm looking at it here. That is correct, and it'll just appear in the middle of talking about WPFW, which is where, in fact, it All right, so it would be just substituting KPFT for WPFW in that spot, all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No one object to that correction. Hearing none, it's now incorporated into the minutes. Any further amendments to the minutes? Hearing none, is there any objection to the minutes of September 15th? Those minutes are now approved. Are there any further minutes awaiting approval, Mr. Secretary?
Not at this time.
All right, thank you. That takes us on to the budget review and approval section of our agenda. As you'll recall, at our last meeting, we had a lengthy discussion about KPFT's budget that ended with no resolution. The committee was not clear about what it expected or who it expected it from. I tried to distill the concerns that were raised at that meeting into clear direction we could give to the people working on KPFT's budget, and the result is the rather lengthy motion that is listed under item 4A on your agenda. It reads as follows. The National Finance Committee requests the following revisions to the management proposed KPFT budget. 1. Update July and August 2015 columns to incorporate actual figures rather than forecasts. 2. Reduce line 5,000 listener support to the amount actually recorded over the last 12 months, which is $973,330. 3. Provide historical MEMSIS data supporting the fulfillment assumptions on the pledge.listenersupport.collection tab. Those assumptions are 90.2% fulfillment for the October 2015 drive, 88.5% fulfillment for the January 2016 drive, 89.4% fulfillment for the May 2016 drive, and 63.4% fulfillment on the August 2016 drive. 4. Reduce line 5020, which is corporate match, to the amount actually recorded over the last 12 months, which is $19,000. 5. Reduce line 5770, which is car donations, to the amount actually recorded over the last 12 months, which is $31,000. 6. Reduce line 5750, which is community events income, to the amount actually recorded over the last 12 months, which is $29,000. 7. Increase line 6790, which is community events expense, to the amount actually spent over the last 12 months, which is $19,000. 8. Reduce line 5599, which is miscellaneous income, to the amount actually recorded over the last 12 months, which is $6,500, or provide written support, like a signed HD channel rental agreement, for any higher figure. 9. Reduce budgeted expenses so as to maintain a balanced operating budget and a positive cash balance at the end of each month. And 10. Submit a contingency plan describing what additional revenue targets KPFT will have to achieve by what dates in order to afford any raises that are not possible under the budget targets outlined above. So, on the KPFT motion, I'll take a stack for discussion, additions and amendments.
Bill?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm on the call now.
Okay.
This is Serena. I just joined. I don't have access. Did you just read the motion?
I did, yes.
Oh, okay.
It's in the agenda.
I have Bill. Who else? Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Well, my major concern is, are we going to do the same thing for all the stations? Because a number of the stations' budgets have problems with many of these same areas, same line items. And, in fact, even the KPFA budget that we approved, I think, still has an unrealistic fulfillment value and neutralizing depreciation and I don't know what's going to happen with the other stations, but I don't want to just single out KPFT for this, and allow other stations to have unrealistic budgets. I think it is important to have realistic budgets, but if we're going to just do it for KPFT, then that's not going to help us much. If you look at Pacifica as a whole.
Anyone else, Jack?
Adriana.
Anyone else? Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. I just heard what you just said, Bill, but the difference is that to now, that's the problem that we have. KPFT, the other stations are working, they agree, they are looking at the budget. We have this problem, and we were in the last meeting, two fiascos, one after another. The same is happening to the whole local finance committee, and we have in the last call Efren, the controller, and the former the executive director, John, telling us clearly that that were not the directives that he gave to KPFT. I think that what Biden is trying to do is give clear directives. That's why I think that the situation is totally different to other stations. We were trying to do that, yourself, with me, and with the chair of the board and the finance committee, but we didn't have any of the results. I think that this measure is absolutely necessary, And something else, we need to remember that in the last proposed budget that we had, was in a proposed increase in salaries, and we know now that it's a motion approved by the PNB that that will not happen. I mean, they need a special authorization. The same situation in administration, where even with the hiring freeze, people are being hired, even when it's a hiring freeze. I think that we need to start giving some directives, and this is the first step in the right direction. Thank you.
Anyone else to stack on this motion?
Well, Bill, I guess I'll propose an amendment. We'll let everybody else go first.
Okay.
Michael, to the stack.
I've got our Paul. I've got Michael. Anyone else? Okay, Bill, I've got you at the end of that stack. Go ahead, Arpal.
All I have to say is it's a 10-point detailed motion, and I'm not taking it all in instantaneously here. That's all I have to say on it.
Michael?
Correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the manager there explained why he was estimating a higher income from community events and a lower cost. Am I correct about that, that they had lined up some kind of community partners that were defraying the cost?
Can we answer that?
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, yes, we're planning some sort of gala may not be the right term, but another major event. We had one this spring. We kind of learned from it, and we're going to do another one with a lower cost of venue next spring. We have a close to free venue, at least in miscellaneous expenses, and we hope to do some sort of a music festival. It will be a major fundraiser. So, right, there are going to be some differences for this next fiscal year, for FY16. It's not going to make a huge amount of difference, that one line item, though.
So, I mean, Bill, how do you feel about the figures in the initial budget, which I believe showed something like a tripling of community event income and a halving of community event expense?
I feel more comfortable like doubling it. And cutting the expense maybe by a third, because you're going to be having way more events. We're going to have some other things, but most of the expense went into one event this in FY15 that we're not planning to do it the same way. And I do agree with Adriana that I think the overall revenue listener support estimates are high. I'm not sure they're that high because we do have a transmitter. I think we're going to get some benefit from that later in the year. But the main thing I was concerned about is, if are we going to be doing this just for KPFB, or are we going to insist that all the stations, follow the same thing for every line item?
So, Bill, you're next on stack. You said you had an amendment?
Well, yes, I'd like to add that, and sure, I guess at the end, number 11, that we follow the same procedures for all stations' budgets.
Just Tony for a point of information.
Tony, let me make sure Arpal's got the language of the amendment before I go to you. Arpal, are your fingers keeping up with Bill's
amendment? I have add 11, add same procedures for all stations' budgets.
Or follow the same procedures.
Follow. Follow.
The numbers are subsidiary to the sentence, the National Finance Committee requests the following revisions to the management proposed KPFT budget. It kind of makes it sound like we're asking KPFT to do work on the other stations' budgets.
Well, I just want to make it clear the intention is that we are going to be following these same procedures, though, for all the stations. Do you want to propose more clear wording?
I think probably you just don't want a number in front of it. You want it in its own paragraph.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'll leave out the 11 then.
Does that make sense, Paul?
Let me look. I'm changing it right here. So it would be to add at the end, quote, I guess, and follow the same procedures for all stations' budgets.
I think probably the NFC shall follow the same procedures for all stations' budgets. Is that consistent with your intent, though?
Yes, that's good.
Can everybody who's not R. Paul and Bill please mute? R. Paul, can you give a reading of the last paragraph as the amendment was read?
Let me get up to it. Let's see here. Well, you want to make it a separate paragraph. So it would be after 10. It would say, submit a contingency plan describing what additional revenue targets KPFT will have to achieve by what dates in order to afford any raises that are not possible under the budget targets outlined above, period, paragraph. And the NFC shall follow the same procedures for all stations' budgets.
Sound good to you, Bill?
Yes, that's okay.
Okay. I have Tony next on stack. Let me first ask, is there any objection to the amendment as proposed by Bill?
Yes, I need to get more information about it.
Sure. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, my concern, I don't know what that means by the same procedure, because as I understand these specific itemized issues, they were specifically related to Houston's budget. So if there's a broad policy or standard, I don't have a problem with a standard that this committee is using to apply toward every budget. But I'm confused as exactly what he means by what that procedure is, because many of these things are specific to the recommendations in the KPF and the Houston budget. So what exactly is the standard and procedure that you're referring to?
The point is that it's changed these various line items to the amount actually recorded for FY, so for the last 12 months. That's what that means for FY 2015.
Well, right now it would mean for the 12 months ending in August 2015, because we don't have actuals through September yet.
Well, right.
Although September actuals might be available very soon.
Adriana, for the start.
Adriana?
Yes. What I don't understand is, till now, KPFT budget is the only one where we know that wasn't answering to any of the directives of the Pacifica National Office, wasn't responding to any of the directives, the request of the local KPFT, local finance committee. That's the reason for this motion. I mean, trying to attach to this motion something that will work for all of that. If other stations present budgets that have nothing to do with the procedure that they are asking them to apply, then we can talk in the specific cases. But these consequences of exactly what happened with KPFT applied to everybody else, I think that doesn't make any sense. I'm against.
Okay. Anybody else to stack on this?
Michael Lizek.
I've got Michael. I'll throw myself on after. Go ahead, Michael.
I do think we have been applying something like this, not necessarily stick to the figures before over the last 12 months, but in the case of the KPFK budget, the management was directed to revise it with lower anticipated revenues to decrease expenses further, to come up with some other plans for payroll and come up with a narrative for dealing with alternatives and so on. So I don't think this is inconsistent with what we've done with other budgets. That's all.
Yeah, I was going to make the same point. I think Tony's concern is, accurate. I mean, the resolution is a bunch of requests specific to the KPFT budget that was presented by management there. I think we are applying basically the same line-by-line scrutiny to every station's budget we get. KPFT's was the most optimistic we've seen on revenue so far. It was almost 12% increase in revenue from the prior year to the coming one. So a lot of this is on the revenue side. At other stations, you have other concerns, like at KPFK, many of us concerned that the station, when the station tries to under-budget premiums, because its history is that it winds up spending a lot on premiums to raise the money it budgets. But I don't see it as a big thing to fight over either way. It's basically aspirational language declaring our intention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. My concern, I agree with the intent, but my concern is that with working with Efren and requesting the station come up with an average of the, over the last 2 or 3 years to come up with their figures. Now we're restricting it according to this, but I thought it was unique with Houston or whatever the recommendations were there. Now we're saying over the, over the last 12 months. So you're going to restrict all the future budgets to what they did over the last 12 months and not the average over the last couple of years, which could make a big difference. But now we're arbitrarily just selecting over the last 12 months. Once again,
well,
I'm concerned about taking a standard that's unique to Houston. I'm not necessarily saying that I would agree with even that that should apply to Houston. But I'm just saying we're taking this arbitrary standard and applying it across the board. Now the standard is what happened over the last 12 months when Efren instructed everyone to prepare their budget over an average of at least the last actuals for the last two years or so.
Yeah, I guess I'll answer that because I constructed the motion. I wasn't aware that the directive was to use a three-year average. I know he has a three-year average in his budget template, and I assume it's there for the purposes of analysis, but I've never been aware of that as a budgeting principle. That would be a bad metric to use if your trend over 3 years is down on a given income line, because the safe assumption would be that it continues down, but the average would give you significantly more than you raised in the last year. It would also be a really bad metric to use if you had an outlier in 1 year, as KPFT did in the year that it raised $45,000 to fix its transmitter after a lightning strike. That money in that 1 year drove their three-year average up to triple what it would be otherwise if you discounted the outlier. And the same goes for KPFA's major donor income, where you have to exclude the $1 million in windfall major donor gifts that we had in fiscal year 2015 if you want to get any kind of realistic amount to budget on that line. I put 12-month figures in because it seemed like the best basis of comparison from actuals. I'm certainly open to people proposing something else to budget on these lines. And what I would prefer is that management come back with something that, you know, they feel they can justify without being subtly optimistic. But as it stands, what I'm proposing is that on those lines that seem clearly out of whack from what KPFT's performance has actually been, that unless we have another proposal for management, we ask them to use the prior 12 months figures.
This is Lydia.
I've got Lydia. Who else?
Tony again.
And possibly Michael.
Okay, I've got Lydia, Tony, and Michael, and that'll take us to our time certain for the WBAI budget. Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, but despite you know, that three-year average, which is one point of reference, I think that most of us, when we're, you know, at the LSB level and when we challenge items on the budget, it is based on, you know, last year you only did this. I mean, it really is based on the actuals from the previous years. I assume that most people do that. But the other distinction was that the KPFT budget included raises, which I haven't heard anyone suggest other than what is built into the union contract, and I'm not opposed to the raises as long as they can figure out some way of being able to finance those and to support those. And it certainly sounds like some have not been compensated for a long time, and that's true throughout the network, by the way, not unique to KPFT. But those were kind of like the differences also that I saw. But I just assume that everyone is looking at last year's actuals. At least I hope so, because that's a much closer time frame as opposed to the 3-year average spoke to developing something about central services, as I recall, and as opposed to how you analyze your next year's budget. Thank you.
Tony, you're back.
Yeah, my concern is just I don't have a problem with reviewing the last year's actual, but it's the way the language is written, even with the recommendation of the Houston budget. It is an exact language. It says you must exactly use what your line was in this column for last year. To me, it's extremely restrictive to put that kind of language. And like I said before, that doesn't necessarily mean I support it that Houston do that. I mean, we can look at it as a barometer along with other barometers to come up with something that's realistic to project your 2016 budget. But this language says you must put the exact amount that you put last year. And that concerns me. And I would have raised that concern even for Houston when we had gotten to it. But I'm just concerned about the language being exact. We're setting an exact formula that you have to use this line that you used last year. Not the average, not a little bit more, not a little bit less, but you have to use actually what you have. That's the thing that concerns me. I mean, we can look at it as one of the criterions for determining what's realistic for your projection for 2016. I don't want to be exactly limited to that, is my concern.
Idea?
And I'm sure the managers ought to have some concerns about that, too.
Okay.
Michael,
hold on. So here's where we are, folks. We're at our time certain for WBAI. I've got Michael, Bill, and Adriana still wanting to speak. Was that Bertold who just joined the call?
Yes.
Okay. My preference is that we not keep a manager waiting for too long. If someone wants to propose a short extension so we can resolve this, I'll take that motion now. If someone wants to propose tabling this till later in the meeting, I'd be happy to take that motion as well.
I'm going to go later in the meeting.
Okay. Michael Novick moves to table. Is there any objection to tabling?
To the end of to after the...
Until after WBAI.
Until after WBAI. Well, it'll require a motion to remove it from the table, and you can make that at any point during the meeting.
Okay. Perfect.
Any objection to tabling? Okay. We will put the KPFT budget motion and the attached amendment on hold, as both are pending, and move on to the WBAI budget. Bertold Reimers, the general manager of WBAI, is on the call. We were sent a new budget draft for WBAI by R. Paul Martin, the station's treasurer, about half an hour before the meeting started. I think it's a safe bet that most of us hadn't had time to look at it. So, Bertold, can you give us a quick tour through what we're looking at first? Bertold, are you on the call?
Actually, I sent that out at 2:45 this afternoon, Eastern Time.
That's strange. It hit my inbox at 5 p.m. Pacific.
And the version is preliminary June 2015. Is that in the filing?
Let me look
and the MVS
and see the file is named.
Yeah, I got
WBAI preliminary June 2015 to September 30th, 2016 budget template MVS.xls.
Huh. I wound up with one that says preliminary FY16 budget 2.
Ah, okay. That is what's uploaded because Yahoo gave me a lot of trouble today. And Yahoo will not accept that long name. Yahoo keeps rejecting it. It rejected it the
okay,
last
but,
time.
Okay, but they're the same contents,
exact
correct?
Exact same file.
Okay, that's fine. So I'm sorry, did we hear that Bertel Reimers is on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Bertel, can you please give us a tour of the budget that you are proposing?
Basically, the budget was initially crafted by Markeisha. Is Markeisha on the call?
Not that I know of.
No. By Markeisha, because EFRA has changed the whole format of the budget, and I wasn't familiar, and I didn't feel that I needed to spend that effort doing this since I'm short of staff. So that was done. It took me a little while to go through it. That's why you're getting this so late. And I basically just turned it over to the finance committee, and they did not like the budget, and Upwork can tell you why. So I went over it again these past 2 weeks and then submitted to the finance committee. What I basically did is I looked at my QuickBook. This is what everybody keeps complaining about. I looked at my QuickBook, very accurate, actual data, and I adjusted the budget accordingly, you know, so it almost mirrors, almost matches my QuickBook, you know, accurate numbers. So the problem with this budget is that you will see that there is a deficit of $200,000, and I know we're not supposed to submit a deficit to the national office or to the local finance committee, but when I submit a budget and I try to, you know, make adjustments to balance it, I get from this committee what was this committee was giving to PFW the other day is like, this is not realistic. So this is the best I can come up with, and I'm leaving it up to the local finance committee and the national finance committee to see where they can make adjustment. I don't see where there can be any adjustment. The adjustment can only be in the revenue, and the revenue cannot increase that realistically. So that's where we are. See, if you want to ask any specific questions, I can answer them to you. If you want to look at just a summary of the revenue versus the revenue, I have 1.9 million, and actually, Efren sent a very recent September income statement that shows about. That shows that we had revenue of $1.5 million. And the difference, 1.524. And the difference between those two is that I did remove the December dryers. And I'm gonna re-add those 3 weeks. So the revenue, I think, is pretty solid. But the expenses, if you go to the expenses and you look at the expenses, we are paying $12,000 a month to the Empire State Building, but in the budget we are accruing for, you know, the possibility of paying more. So without that, the budget will probably be balanced. But, I'm not going to do voodoo economics here. I'm going to leave that up to you people to decide. I think it would be best for me to take questions now and challenges, and then I kind of respond as best as I can.
Okay. We'll take a stack for questions first on the WBAI budget.
Well, could I say something?
Sure. Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah. The basically, we got this budget, and the first time we met, Berthold wasn't at the meeting, so the committee looked at it, and that first budget, if you look back at it, had BAI having a positive surplus at the end of the year of over $800,000. When you know, that's the first thing you look at, and when you look at that, it kind of made the committee say, oh, geez, you know, and so the committee didn't like it, and the committee didn't think it was realistic and all of that. This past week, we had a meeting on Thursday, and on the 15th, and Berthold gave us the budget then at the meeting, and, you know, so we didn't get to do a whole lot there, but Berthold told us now it was up to us to get the budget to balance out. It has, again, a $200,000 deficit, and he said it's up to the committee to do that, and the committee doesn't think that's a realistic idea. We're not management. And so right there we have a little disconnect. I don't think it's up to a committee that meets every couple of weeks to really get in there and dig into how to adjust the budget. If I could add a couple of things here, looking at the FY15 income statement through August 31st, listener support is $1,284,000. And if we really have pitched 168 days, that's about $7,648 a day. As I've said in the past, BAI is pitching a lot more than the formal pitching days. We have days when, you know, 2 or 3 hours we'll subtly be pitching, a sort of semi-formal one. And then there's a totally informal plug-ins to various parts of the schedule where there will be a rerun of an old premium-based show, and that'll come in there. And for FY16, the 1.5 million is significantly more than FY15, and I don't see how the listener support is going up, especially given what we're doing with the current on-air fundraiser. Also, the draft budget is showing January, April, and September as very bad in terms of cash flow. On the other hand, in terms of Empire and the accrued rental, you know, you can look at it two ways. One, in terms of accounting for stuff, yeah, you need to accrue that because nobody gave you a gift at this point. And on the other hand, look at it in terms of realistic cash flow and stuff. And you say, you know, if we're going to keep going the way we've been going, you can take out a very large six figures out of the expense line by saying we're going to be going the way we've been going the past year and a fraction. So that's what it looks like to me right now, and I'll let other questions happen.
Okay, we'll take a stack on WBAI.
Bill.
Okay, I've got Bill. Who else? Michael, who else?
Nancy,
who else? Okay, I've got Bill, Michael, then Nancy, and then we'll open it up for more questions. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thanks. See, I'm really concerned about drops in listener support, too. I know it dropped rather significantly in FY14, and then in FY15, it dropped even more significantly. You're saying, I guess that's pretty much up to date, is that right, Berthold, for 2015?
Yes, that's up to date.
Okay, to 1.53 million for FY13 for total listeners, total revenue, and then total revenue you're projecting for next year is 1.9 million. So, like Paul is, I guess, hanging out, I don't see how you'd expect to have it increase unless you can give us some reasons. So, I'm offering you an opportunity to give us some reasons why you think that the revenue will increase that much.
Yeah, I think I explained that already. I skipped the 9/11 pitch, which was a two-day pitch, and I skipped the December pitch, which was a 2 to 3 weeks pitch. So if you take that, I don't know, it's just that 21 days times 12, that's about 250,000 times 0.8. That's about 200,000. If you're assuming lower rate, so that's about 20.
I'm not sure what you're following. Sorry.
I'm adding 23 days times 12,000 per day on average times 80%, so that's $220,000 more.
So you're adding that much to what was in FY15?
Yes.
Well, what would the total number of fund drive days be then?
It would be the same it was in FY14, because we just skipped the December and then we skipped the 9/11. We're trying to reduce the days of fund drives.
Okay, I'll let some others ask questions.
Michael.
I'm not sure I'm dealing with what you said at the beginning about the $200,000 deficit, but I'm curious about a few of the lines. You have the miscellaneous other income, line 24. The average for the 3 years was very small. Then 2015, you have 151,000 projected, and you're budgeting 216,000, so I'm wondering where that what that income is and where the increase in that is from. It seems that you've got
let's take them one at a time, Michael.
Okay,
go ahead.
Sure.
That's the BI buddy.
WBI buddy.
Yes.
And so you think that will grow by another
60,000,
65,000.
How much was
it? Yeah, the
Michael, it looks like a bad forecast for fiscal year 2015 because it's five digits for every month where we have actuals, but then it's like $100 a month for the last 3 months of the fiscal.
Yeah. So you're saying you think it's going to be about this much for...
It closes about half the gap that you're observing.
Okay. Community events, it looks like you have nothing under expenses. And $57,000 in income. Yeah, the community events under expenses, you have zero budgeted for expenses. And I'm wondering how you think it'll generate the 57,000.
Yeah, I might discuss that a little bit. Community events, that a lot of this is David Rosenberg, you know, like the theater tickets, so there's not much expenses in there. I might need to adjust that a little bit. That's accurate.
But Berto, there's no actual. There's no recorded. Well, the total for recorded in 2015 is $600, and the budget is almost 60,000.
Well, that's because David Rosenberg restarted pitching again, and then pitching those community events, and he's generating about 3,000 to 5,000 a week, really, to tell you the truth. But so I wanted to be safe and put 4,000 or 5,000 a month. Because we still have a phone problem issue, and depending on whether or not that's going to be resolved, he will be pitching them weekly. If not, then that's not going to happen. I intend to solve the phone issue, but this past couple of... I can probably run a report for you for next meeting to show you how much David Rothenberg community event has been bringing in this past 3 months or 4 months.
When did he start pitching them?
He started Apple. How about 5 months, 4 months ago?
I am not sure exactly when he started. He's doing it now, but I don't know when he resumed doing this.
Yeah.
We have actuals for WBAI through August, and there's no money on the community events line except $600 from October. So where is it getting booked? Where is it in these actuals that we can use to justify the figures in the budget?
This is Serene.
Serene, to Stack, or you have an answer?
Well, I think I have an answer. We talked before about the fact that a lot of our income was showing up in listener support and that there needed to be a further breakdown of that. But the record of David's fundraising, you can look at any of the past 10 years until Sandy, when he couldn't do it, until our new forced move to our new location where it couldn't be done. Those numbers are consistently in the budget.
So, Bertolt, do you know where they are in the actuals that we have?
They probably put them all in the listener sponsors.
Okay, I had one last question.
I'm going to have to pause that out. Let me see something.
I can say that I've already spoken at, I think at one of the meetings this came out, that the Saturday morning ticket donations, as I think we should call them, should be broken out somewhere, but they have been lumped in, and Bertolt, I was under the impression you were lumping them into that because you were citing listener support, and I pointed out that one of our thons had come in seriously low, and you came in with a final tally that for the first time in decades was higher than the previous tally, and you were telling us that you were putting other things into the into that on-air fundraiser total. And
okay, look, folks, let's not get too into it. If we don't know, then we just need to get an answer before the next time we do the budget.
Yeah.
If they're lumped into listener support on the actuals, the problem is that the baseline listener support that we're comparing the budget to should be lower. I mean, that if that money's already recorded somewhere, we can't count it twice. So we need to figure out where it's showing up in the current year's financial statements so that we make sure we have a good baseline for next year's financial statements. Michael, did you have more questions?
Yeah, my last question is about really the cash flow and cash flow forecast. It doesn't look to me like there's any arrangement for repayment of back central services. Is that correct?
Well, that's unless we get a large donation, then we would be able to do that.
Okay.
I have Nancy next.
I just wanted to comment on the lumping in into the listener support. I think we think that's what's been happening with us too, and we've been we've changed the last budget that we're working on to pull that out and not double entry it. So we're comparing like bank transactions to the total of the listener support, and we're just trying to figure out what that listener support is, and we think we're having the same issue, and don't know why that's happening exactly, but I think it is a misunderstanding. And it does need to be recognized. I had a question, R. Paul. You were talking about something being accruals. Was that the tower rent?
Yeah, the fraction of the tower rent. Without getting into details that I think we don't want to get into, the bulk of the tower rent is accrued, and some of it is paid. So that accrual is big.
That's what accounts for the deficit.
Say again?
Is that why the deficit is? That's what's the bulk of the deficit.
It should be.
The bulk of the deficit because we're talking about it's about 55,000, and we're paying 12,000. So.
Sorry.
Yeah, the difference between what we accrued and what we're paying is $500,000. In other words,
so
you know, the bill would normally be close to $55,000. We are paying $12,000 a month, so the difference is about $43,000-$45,000 times 12. That's $516,000.
So you have an agreement to not have to pay all of that. But does that...
That's a conversation that would have to go offline, if we could go on...
or whatever, yeah, okay, I'm just trying to figure out, I'm just trying to understand, does that contribute to the income surplus deficit calculation? So the $660,000 per year is an expense that's reflected in the income surplus deficit, right?
Yes, it's accrued, and we just can't afford to pay that at this point.
So, okay. So, if you're okay with it accruing, then this $200,000
deficit
is a lot of it is accrued. Is that right?
Yes. But
is that I just was wondering if that interpretation. Since I'm new to understanding all of this, I just wondered if that's the correct interpretation.
Brian, we could have an executive session next time, and I can explain things to her.
Yeah, I think you kind of covered it in broad strokes today since you laid out the numbers.
Yeah.
Our situation is we have to accrue what's in the budget, and currently the per month cash outlay is less than that.
Yeah.
And the reason we have to accrue it is because the landlord could call due what we're not paying at any point.
Bill for the stack.
Okay. I've got Bill. I'll throw myself on after Bill. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. I won't mention any details, but on the salaries, the payroll tab, it looks like you have over 11 FTEs. Is that correct? I didn't think you had anywhere near that many. Or how many FTEs are you budgeting for? I guess I'm asking.
About 7. Not even 7, really.
Look at the salaries tab. I'm not sure if that goes ripples back through into the.
How this whole spreadsheet really works. All I can tell you is that it is not 11. We have the general manager, the program director, part time. That's 1.5. The development director, 2.5. The operations director, that's 3.5. We have operations staff, 1, 2, 3 during the week, and 1 on weekend. So that we have 7 people, and probably really altogether 6 FTE, because one of the operations staff is also part-time. Same as the program director. So that's why I say that I was not totally comfortable with this new spreadsheet spread. I most offices have a whole department finance to look at this. I used to be very comfortable and very familiar with the previous budget spreadsheet, and this one is a little fast. out to work.
Bill, it looks like it has a lot of FTEs penciled in on that salaries tab where there's no actual money going out.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, it's not real clear, though. Because it does have, well, okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm just looking at, so the total payroll, you're talking about personnel costs are $482,000. That's what's on the main spreadsheet, the major budget, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's right because the bookkeeper, you know, she does the payroll, she knows the numbers really well.
And I haven't had time to go through all of this. I say only $18,000 for consultants and $15,000 for professional fees. Is that right? That's the only other thing that would be like personnel?
Yes. But for consultant, it might be a little more than that because for consultant, we have mail clerk who gets paid part-time, and then he doesn't get any benefits, so he is considered a consultant. And then when we're doing front drive, sometimes we need help putting pitch together, premiums together, and all that kind of stuff. So we may have to get people to help us out. We went to the West Coast or in New York, having people help us out with producing premiums and producing shows and pitching and all that stuff. So that's it. I mean, as far as those extra courses. And if we need somebody to do some technical work on the sound system, we have a lot of issues there. We will pay someone to come and do like one quick job and stuff like that. So this is all that's embedded in that.
Okay. Well, that's a quick question on premiums from other vendors. I thought, you know, we were talking about at least a year or so ago using PRA premiums more and other outside vendors a lot less. But it doesn't look like you have that. Have you? You only have $3,800 for PRA premiums, and you have over $100,000 for other vendors' premiums.
I think last year we had more. That is an adjustment I have to do in this budget. PRA premiums.
PRA premiums cost us almost nothing, and PRA is withering on the vine because of lack of central services payments. And it seems like we should be trying to use them a lot more. And I thought that was a decision made a year or two ago.
Last year, PRA premium was $12,000. So I'm going to have to make adjustment to this part of the budget. And I think it might be even more. I mean, actual versus the pool. So I would venture to say we probably spent close to $15,000 on PRA premium. So I will adjust the budget to reflect that.
Okay, but I do hope you can use more PRA premiums for FY16 also. That was my main point.
All right, this is Brian. I've got a bunch of questions, but I just want to surf off that note. I appreciate what you're saying, Bill, and I just want to say that it's dangerous to be aspirational about premium spending. The stations wind up using the premiums that perform the best on the air. And just saying use more PRA premiums if they're the same things that have been available to the stations for several years and they're kind of played out, it isn't going to help anyone if it lowers their fundraising totals. I think it's generally safer to budget premium spending on its trend, not on our kind of ideal of how much should be outside vendors and how much should be PRA. So that's a counterpoint. But I was concerned that you're virtual budgeting a pretty sharp increase in listener support, but you're simultaneously budgeting a $40,000 drop in outside premiums and a $3,000 drop in PRA premiums. That does not seem prudent. Do you know what accounts for that?